this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide by your Holy Spirit in the message today. Father, you know the need of the hour. You know the words that we need to say to get across your message. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to stand with your message, that it could touch the hearts of those that are listening, that those that are lost could be saved, and those that are saved could be revived, strengthened, and encouraged through your word. Direct us and help us as only you can. And Father, we pray that for the good that is accomplished, that we would step aside and give you the praise. Also, Father, we ask that you would continue to help our nation. We know that we've fallen so far from you, and there's so many that doesn't even know what our nation was founded upon. They don't even know what the rights that were given to us mean. They misinterpret things. They don't go back and read original text and read the original writings and what the people said about what they were doing and what they were writing down. And Father, it's caused so much confusion. And Father, we pray that people would understand things like freedom of conscience. Father, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and what that actually means, and what it was intended for, and what it was also not intended for. Father, there's just so much that people are misled by today. And Father, we pray that you would help them to see the truth, that they would understand what this country was set up to be. And Father, we know only you can open people's eyes to the truth. We know that Satan is working hard to blind people in so many ways, and so many times people are even blinding themselves by their own lust and their own desires. And Father, we pray that you would help as only you can through your word and your Holy Spirit. Above all, we ask that your will to be done, and we ask this all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. We'll say this, we pray that every one of you will have a happy 4th of July coming up this Wednesday, and I'll say this, no better place to enjoy Independence Day than in the house of God. I pray that many churches will be having service, and I pray that they'll be packed. It'd be a good day for churches to be packed, because without the blood of Christ, we have no real independence at all. And certainly it's from that we even know the independence we have. I wish people would go back and read sometimes about our founding fathers and how they believed that one day they were going to face judgment. And they believed that what they were standing for and what they were proclaiming was something that they could face God with. And you go back and read about George Washington's belief in divine providence and the founding of our nation. And you go back and read how people like Benjamin Franklin encouraged the Constitutional Convention to pray and seek God's face, and that that if a house isn't founded by the Lord, it won't stand. And how Benjamin Franklin believed those things. You look at Thomas Jefferson's writings, and so many times over, and you look at his conviction towards the Baptist of the North and how he dealt with them and said there'll be a separation of church and state. And what he meant by there is that the state would never interfere with their beliefs. They would have freedom of conscience. Hasn't that been misused? And what he was intending to encourage them on and remind them of, that the government was not here to interfere with their beliefs. And when they wrote that letter unto him, worried about what the local state governments were doing. They were worried about, they were going to be able to worship and continue. And he said, no. He said, we as the government will not interfere with your held beliefs, with your sincere held beliefs based upon the scriptures. Haven't we come far from that? We've gone way far from that. And in fact, that actual wording has been misused to think that the state can come in and say whatever they want to, and basically the churches are to remain silent. And that's not what he was saying there. In fact, he was really saying kind of the opposite. Not saying that the churches should have the authority over the government, but that the individual people, and people should be able to stand up for what they believe in. They should have freedom of conscience. And so many important things about our nation, and we just wish everyone a very happy Independence Day. And we certainly pray that, again, you'll be in services on that day and remind people where true independence comes from, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. We do want to get to a subject today, and the subject is church government. And looking at government, of course, I could go through and show you many things about our government and how they got their ideas from Scripture. There's just so much on that you can go back and look at founding documents and see how many times they quoted Scripture, referred to God, got their ideas from God, and even people that they quoted. If you go back and read some of John Locke and Charles de Montesquieu and some of these others, where they got their ideas from, many of what even they quoted from them originated in Scripture. And you can go back and look at Deuteronomy being one of the biggest books used, and Exodus and Leviticus and so many other places that they got these ideas for our government and how it was going to be used. And there's just multiple quotes. More than anything else in our founding was looking to God and looking to Scripture. And that's not hard to go and study and find. And it's not that they were trying to set up a church government. They didn't want that. They didn't want a Church of England. They didn't want a Catholic Church that had authority in the Roman Catholic Empire and the Holy Roman Empire, however you want to look at it in history. They didn't want that. They didn't want forcing people in church. They didn't want forcing people into a certain denomination. But they wanted people to serve God. And they wanted God to be the basis of what we went by. A moral and upright people. Go and read George Washington's inaugural address. Go and read his farewell address especially. And you'll see so much of this. And these are not the only ones. I'm just throwing out a few things. And there were even times that our Supreme Court would say at different times in rulings in the 1800s that we are a Christian nation. That's not taught in any history class, is it? Not taught anymore. But it was a belief that we went by God. We went by certain things. And there were certain standards. And I believe it was even John Adams that said, listen, this government wasn't just set up for anybody. It was for moral and religious people. And when he was saying religious, there wasn't just a pile of different religions over here at that time. It was Christian. And that's what he was referring to. He didn't say he had to be a certain denomination. He said, there's certain core beliefs that we have. Judeo-Christian values. He said, this must be the hallmark of what we are, because these laws were set up for those type of people. He said they're insufficient for others. Because they don't work for an immoral people. They don't work for just anybody else. And, you know, if you study the Muslim religion, especially getting into things like Sharia law, it just doesn't work. It doesn't fit with the Bill of Rights. Just doesn't. But I don't mean to just go into all that, but thinking about the 4th of July, there's so much that I wish people would go back and study and take time to meditate upon what it means to be an American. What it means to love our nation and to believe in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the principles of what we were founded upon. It's so vital, it's so important. And as we get today, I'm going to deal with church government. And look at these things, and look at how God has set up His church in different ways. And I know we won't get to touch on just everything, but I pray it can provoke thought, provoke study, and be a blessing to us. Now, within churches, you've got the Catholic Church that believes that Pope has the authority. You've got others that have branched off of the Catholic Church that believe that the preachers have the authority, or presbytery has the authority, or certain bishops, and you got meetings and councils, and they have authority and they can change things. We have no authority. Let me say this very plainly. We have zero authority to change the Word of God. The Bible teaches us in many places that there is only one head of the church. That's Christ. And Peter himself, some people say Peter was the first pope. He never declared himself to be that. And in fact, in many of his writings, if you will go read 1 and 2 Peter, and you start reading the beliefs of what the Catholic Church believes the pope is supposed to be, and his qualities, and what authority he has, you're going to see that the authority that the Catholics believe that the pope has, and what Peter believed that he has, was totally different. He didn't tell people, follow me, do what I tell you to do. He said, you need to take heed unto the Word of God. He said, it's better than me seeing God himself, and he's talking about God the Father. I know he's not talking about just seeing his face and different things, but he saw God. He saw Christ lifted up. He heard the voice of God the Father himself on the Mount of Transfiguration, and you can go and read it. And he makes the statement that even what he heard and what he saw being with Christ and hearing even the voice of God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, you got something better than that to hold on to. Better than that. There's people today saying, my pastor got a vision. You got something better than your pastor's vision today. You got something better than some dream, some vision, some anointing or whatever else you want to call it. He said, this is what you'd do well to take heed unto. And he said, the Word of God. He said, because this Word of God was given by inspiration of God. These men didn't write what they wanted to write. He said they were moved by the Spirit of God to write what they write. What they put down. He said, that's what I encourage you to take heed to. And he didn't say, I'm the chief cornerstone. He said, Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the unmovable factor. He's the head, the only lawgiver of the church. And as a minister, do you know why? And we're going to study qualifications for ministers a little later on. But do you know why qualifications of ministers is written in the Scripture? Because the church has the responsibility to make sure before they send anyone out that they're qualified. That we might know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, how we ought to have order, decency, things that are done decently and in order according to Scripture. There's certain qualifications. You know what happens when a church allows somebody that's not qualified to be sent out? And listen, we got some today, they don't even claim to be sent out from a church. They say, I was called to preach and I started my own church. They were never ordained, and I'll say this, no seminary has authority to ordain or license men. Only a local, visible church has ever had that authority in Scripture. The church at Antioch licensed Paul and Barnabas, didn't they? They sent them out. They ordained them to the work that God had called them to do. They did that. They didn't have to go back to Jerusalem. They didn't have to confer with Peter and James and John and some of the others. They had the authority to do it as a local, visible body. They had the authority. And some people will say, well, God said, you know, it's upon Peter I built my church. No, it's not. Do you know what the church is built upon? If you go back to Matthew chapter 16, where people love to go back and quote, it's when Jesus asked the question, who say ye that I am? And in verse 16 of Matthew 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you're going to notice, that's the subject. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto them that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. He's not saying upon Peter I'm building my church. He's going back and saying upon this doctrine, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If it was built upon Peter, gates of hell could prevail against a human being. Gates of hell can prevail against people. Because people are human, people fail. And even Peter, after this time, failed a couple of times, didn't he? There was a time when Paul had to come and rebuke Peter to the face because he had done something wrong. But you can't go against that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the only way of salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. Gates of hell can't defeat that. What's your church built upon? Is it built upon Peter? Or is it built upon Christ? Christ is the foundation. You know, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is no other foundation than that which is laid. What was laid? He said, Christ, which is Christ. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. It's unmovable. It's unchangeable. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the foundation. There's some people who say, my church is built upon Peter. No, it's not. Mine is built upon Christ. The true church is built upon Christ. And I say this over and over again, there's more false churches out there, and even some that have the name Baptist on them that are not true. If you go to a Reformed Baptist church, it's not true. I'm not Reformed theology. I'm not a Reformed church. I didn't have to reform. And some people talk about this. Listen, the Lord said the gates of hell would not prevail against His church. There's people that want to say, well, the gates of hell prevailed against the true church for over 1,000 years. No, it didn't. There were true people in every century and said, some people say, well, it's hard to find them. It's hard to find them when they're being killed and persecuted everywhere you can find them. They're being lied about. And some people say, well, the history books that we've got from this group over here say that this group was heretics and this group was this. How did God even teach us to deal with heretics? If they were actually in the church, that was one thing. He didn't teach us to kill them. He didn't teach us to torture them. He didn't teach us to forcibly make them. He said you would withdraw fellowship from them. You withdraw from such. He didn't say, go search people down that disagree with you and kill them, not found in the Scripture. Dust off the soles of your feet and go on to the next. That's what it's called in Scripture, isn't it? And trying to get people who are actually killing people to tell you the truth about who other people were is like going to MSNBC and they telling the truth about conservatives. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not where you go to find the truth. God promised that His church would not be prevailed against, that the truth of His doctrine, and you will find all throughout history there are people that were trying to teach that Christ is the only way of salvation, that Christ is the true church. And you can find people teaching that they were a part of a group of people that could trace themselves back to Christ. There is a true church that Christ set up that the gates of hell never prevailed against. And you find them scattered here and there, but what does that show you? They existed. And they continued to exist. And they were persecuted. And they were driven out. And they were despised. So many times. Throughout history. But Satan never prevailed against the true church of Christ. Oh, he persecuted. Oh, he made it limited in a lot of ways. By worldly standards, he made it where people were having to kill Christians left and right, sometimes receiving their third baptism. And you can go back and look that up for yourself, find out what that is. There was a time when you professed faith truly by the Bible in Christ, that your lifespan was about 2 weeks. And just like it was in the early church with them suffering from the hands of religious people like the Jews, you had Christians that were suffering from other Christians. Sometimes they were suffering from Protestants. Sometimes they were suffering before them from Catholics. But they existed throughout time. The true church has existed. And they're founded upon Christ as the head of the church. Now, Christ being the head of the church and the only lawgiver, and that goes for us preachers, we're accountable unto the church. I don't have authority over the church to tell them what doctrines to uphold, what not to uphold. I'm able to preach to them. But I'm to not be lords over God's heritage, but an ensample to the flock, a living example. I'm to be one of them, not above them. I know there's a certain line of respect for ministers that needs to be there, but that respect is as long as they are following Christ. What did Paul say? You follow me as I follow Christ. What do you do when I go away from the doctrines of Christ because I have no authority to change the doctrines of Christ? What did he tell the church at Galatia? He said, reject. He said, if I or some other come, even an angel from heaven, come unto you and preach any other gospel than that you have received, what did he tell them to do? You reject that. He said, whether it's I, wait a minute, he was an apostle. He said, if I start preaching something different, you reject it. Because there's one gospel. God delivered his message, he delivered his doctrines once unto the church. Isn't that what's taught in the book of Jude? That these things were once delivered unto the saints? That's what the true church believes. That's the government we go by. And in that, we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll pick up in verse 11. Notice what God does in the church. And he gave some apostles. Now, we don't have the apostles anymore. They've been gone away with. Somebody's calling themselves an apostle. They don't know a lot about the scripture. The signs of an apostle, Paul said one of the signs that he was an apostle is he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. You know anybody meeting that qualification anymore? Now, apostles are going away, but some prophets, and we think about prophets, and we think about people seeing things into the future. That's not the only type of prophet. There's some that prophesy taking scripture and saying, if you do X, Y, and Z, here's going to be the results. That you can just take the Bible, God's made certain promises, that if you do certain things, they're going to come to pass. And you go back, and many Christians have looked at where America's been going over the past 100 years, and they said, if we go down this path, here's what's going to happen. And they've been really accurate on that. Why? Because they're prophesying according to Scripture that God said, if you do this, here's going to be the results. That is a form of prophecy. It's really a form of mathematics, so to speak, because you're saying 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's how it is. You go down this path, you will get this result. And we've seen a lot of that come to pass. It's not because people just had some vision to see into the future. It's that they know from the promises of God's Word that if you do certain things, you're going to get certain results. There's sometimes that even comes to an individual's life, doesn't it? That we get to the place that we can say, you know, if you make this decision. You know, I told a young man years ago, he was choosing a wife and he chose a woman. And it wasn't that I was against her as an individual. It was about her character. It was about her family. There was a lot of other factors involved. It was also about his choice and why he was choosing this woman. It was about lust. It wasn't about, you know, taking scripturally and finding a good godly woman like God teaches us to do, to look for certain qualities and things of that nature, like you would find the father trying to teach in the book of Proverbs to his son. He was going about things the wrong way. And I said, listen, if you go down this path, I said, now, you can repent, she can repent. I said, things can happen that can make things work out. But I said, if they don't, I said, if you stay where you're at and she stays where you're at, I said, this will only lead in divorce. And I was looked at as a hateful person for telling the truth. to that individual. I didn't want them to end a divorce. It's not what I wanted for them. And I certainly prayed for them, and I prayed that God would open their eyes, and I prayed that they would repent and change and do different things. They didn't. And when I got the phone call saying they were separating, listen, it wasn't a surprise. Not because I could see into the future, but there's decisions that when people make certain decisions in the wrong way, I mean, you can see when people are wasting money and people are spending lavishly and people are living a certain way beyond their means, you know how that's going to end up. We're doing that as a whole nation today, aren't we? We know how that's going to end. If it's not repented of, if it's not changed. And it's not because we can just magically see into the future. There's different types of prophecy. And there is a form of prophecy that's still done today. And that's that looking by Scripture and say, if you make certain decisions, certain outcomes will come of it. Even sometimes in churches, I've even had the unfortunate opportunity to tell some churches that they started to go away from the Bible and they started to chase their own desires. And I said, if you go this way, I said, it won't be too long. You won't even know who you are anymore. And I've watched that before. And it's knowing by Scripture what happens. There's patterns. And you can't go down the same roads that other people go down and expect to end in a different result. I can't take I-59 South and expect to end any other place than in Louisiana. Just doesn't work. I can't take I-59 South and say, well, I'm going to make it to Chicago this way. No, not going south, you're not. And so I want us to understand, and we're running out of time. We'll pick this up some next week. But I want us to understand that God has set some things in the church, and He's done it for a reason. Now, we've just scratched the surface here, but I hope that you see that God has a governmental way of running His body. And God has set some things up in the church, not so that some can be dictators over the others, or tell them what they're going to do, or certainly not change the Word of God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But God has set things up so that we can draw closer to Him. And I pray this could be a blessing. We're going to come back and dig more into this subject next week. I pray it could be a blessing to you, and I pray that you're able to turn in. And if you're not able to turn in to the radio station, listen, we put every message that we preach on this radio broadcast on sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com and look up my name, Brandon Hartfield, or my home church at Clear Branch Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, you'll be able to listen to all these messages. We try to put them on even the Sunday mornings that they're going to go over the airwaves. So we try to do that, and you can look those up. There's even a Sermon Audio app that you can look up, listen on your smartphone or listen on your computer or tablet, and we pray that that could be a blessing. Also, if you ever have a comment or question, our phone number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. We pray this could be a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, and for the good that's accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.